Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Psalm 127. We know that it is very difficult to bring up children as parents. The burden of bringing up children is getting more and more difficult in our global village. It's so hard to protect our children. It is so difficult to guide our children in the right path. They are bombarded in ways and means and measures that we as children have never been bombarded before. Through the internet, they are given free access to the whole world, the good, the bad, the ugly, the filthy. And there is so little we can do to stop them. Living in Singapore with our pressure cooker society, to be pressed into the mold that the world would dictate, it's so easy. Many parents would clamor and climb and do whatever it takes to get their children into the primary school of their choice because of the system that we have here in Singapore. Then after they get in there, the pressures of exam will force many parents to have innumerable and so expensive tuition teachers. You can't count the number of teachers that have a part to play in bringing up our children in their education, from primary school to secondary school. We change one teacher after another teacher for English, another one for maths, another for science, no end to it. And at the end of it, we pray and hope that our children will get into the university and then find a good job and then have perhaps a successful career, and they will be able to live in the comforts of a life that we may not enjoy today. Hopefully they will enjoy one day. And then with that we can sit back and we think we have been very successful parents. They are not criminals. They are law-abiding citizens. We fail to realize that the brainiest cardiologist or eye surgeon, whatever profession it may be, if he is not a Christian, the most successful, the wealthiest person on earth will go to hell and end up in the same place, like the serial killer on death row. What defines a successful parent? Some of us may be bad parents and our children may end up very godly, to no credit to any parent. We just work and work and work, bring the bacon back home, and then our children all turn out very godly. That's by the grace and mercy of God. Have we therefore defined a successful or faithful parent because our children ended up well? Or if we have been very faithful parents, is there a guarantee that our children will end up godly? There is no guarantee in Holy Scriptures that if we are godly parents, our children will end up godly. We do not find it in the Scriptures at all. But at least we can stand before God, we have done our level best. With every ounce of our energy, we have tried our utmost to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That at least we can say to God, Lord, the outcome we know is in your sovereign hand. But we have done our utmost according to Scriptures, to pray with them, to teach them, to guide them the best way we know how. Psychologist tells us today that we should not discipline our children. Inflicting pain on them when they are young and tender would mar their character for life. And when they grow up, they're going to have nightmares. They're going to have this scar that will ruin them forever. Don't discipline them. And then we have modern educators telling us, let our children make their own decision. In some child schools for children, young toddlers, will have this kind of mentality. Let the children make their own decision. Let them make their own mistakes. Don't tell them what is right, what is wrong. They will learn one day, hopefully. Many ideas, many ways, many means of bringing up children. And if all the parents in this sanctuary were asked to write down in your own words, what do you think is the best way to bring up a child? And I'm sure every parent, if there are 100 parents, there will be 100 methods. And each and every one of us most likely will think that my method is the method. Very seldom do we evaluate ourselves to see whether the way that we are as parents is godly in the eyes of God. Will we be found faithful in our parenting or delinquent before God? Because when that day comes, there is no argument. There is not going to be any debate. There is not going to be any excuse that will stand up before God's throne of mercy and judgment. What He says, what He determines on that day, it's final. That's it. How we bring up our children. There are no two ways about it as far as God is concerned, faithful or delinquent. And we know that it is not defined by the outcome of our children. It is defined for us in God's Word. How do you regard this privilege of parenting or parenthood? Is this something that we do as a reaction that we are now fathers and mothers? We just do it because I have to do it. My children, they call me mom, they call me dad, so I have to do it. It's a reaction on our part. Or do we realize that this is God's will for me? That my children are given to me by God Himself. And since it is given to me by God Himself, it is a very reverential responsibility that God has given to me as a father and as a mother. And as long as we do not look at parenthood or parenting with this awesome duty, God-ordained duty, we're going to treat it very lightly. We're going to bring in all kinds of factors in our evaluation and estimation of our roles as fathers and mothers at home. We fight whether we should stay home or go out and work. We fight with God. We fight against God's Word. The Bible is very clear concerning mothers staying home to look after children. That's it, period. If you have no children, fine. You want to work, by all means. Don't take the risk of trying to go out to work and then you come back and then you feel so full of guilt that you have not spent enough time with the children. When the children are naughty, you close both eyes. Never mind, it's okay. It's okay, son, it's okay, daughter. And then we try to exchange, replace precious moments that we could have spent with them with expensive presents. And we think that with expensive gifts that we brought back home with our hard work, that would be a good replacement for the presence of mom and dad. That would be a good replacement for the tender touch that you could have given to your child. That little kiss, that little compassion that you could have been there for your child when the child fell and scraped his knee, or the tears flowed down from her face or around to her cheek. Instead of the maid being there, you could have been there. And so you feel full of guilt. And so you think that by buying them things, expensive clothes and toys, and pander to their every whim and fancies, and not disciplining them, would be the thing to do. And all these done out of a sense of guilt. To be a father and mother is not a reaction. It is a God-given responsibility. Our homes are more or less measured by the pristine condition. Whether it is an image that belongs to the best homes, we think that with this expensive design, with expensive furniture, and then we put our children in there, they will one day grow up like our home, like our furniture. Beautiful and nice and well behaved. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. A house may be beautiful to look at, but it is not a home if we fail as parents. Parenting is a God-given duty, responsibility. Like sculptor, what you do can mold and shape the lives of your children. On the way to the airport this afternoon, the person shared with me how he was so devastated when his nieces and nephews were encouraged, not only encouraged, more or less cajole, push into sitting with their own parents when they did not have enough kaki. You know kaki when they play mahjong? They tell the children to please make up the foursome when they play mahjong. When she was a child, she gambled. The mother did not stop her. Now that she is a mother, she is a compulsive gambler. The husband is a gambler. And now the two children are also compulsive gamblers. The parents just encourage them to gamble in the home is bad enough. But you do not have enough players in your sin. You encourage your children to join you and to make up the number. And there are parents like this in our society in the 21st century. Parenting is from the Lord, because the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You don't do family planning. We think that we do family planning. The family planning comes from God. God is the one who has given us children. You imagine the time when they were little toddlers, and within 12 months they grow up so fast, so quickly, and before you know it, they are saying goodbye to you. And all you have would be lots of memories. And sometimes these memories, most of them could be very painful memories. You wish that you could have been there. Because if we think back on our parenting, I'm sure all of us have regrets. Because we are not perfect. We make mistakes. Some of us more, some of us less. We all have regrets. And sometimes we wish that we could do things a little differently. We can't, because those years do not come back. Once they are gone forever. There's no way our children who are now grown up will go back to the infant days, infant years, where we can start all over again and shape them and mold them all over again and to do a better job. Parenting has no second chance. None at all. Once we do it, we have to live with it. Whatever decision we make, we have to live with it. Whatever method we have used, we have to live with it. And sometimes the consequences could be so heartbreaking. It tears us apart inside. And every time you look at your child, look at your son, your daughter who has gone wayward, you could not help but blame yourself. If only I could have done this and this and that better. Is that not true, parent? For many who are young parents, don't make the mistakes that we have made. Learn from it. And one of the best ways to learn from it is to realize that it is a God-given duty and responsibility. It is an heritage. Why did God choose the word heritage? It is a heritage from the Lord. God gave it to us. Because when you leave the scene, that's what you leave behind. Your heritage. Your children. Will they be godly? Or will they be worldly? Will they be carnal? Or will they be spiritual? That's the heritage. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When you have children who have grown up, who can do the will of God, who can stand up for the word of God, you are not afraid of any enemy. They will be able to stand. That wherever they go, whatever the circumstances, whether you are present or absent, you can die with your eyes closed and you can be so happy and thankful to the Lord that God will take care of them when you are gone. But when they are in the world without knowing Christ, how do we breathe our last breath and not feel a great big burden still weighing so heavily on our chest? They have to fend for themselves all alone without Christ to help them, to guide them, to lead them. Realize that it is a God-given task. except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. You and I cannot do it on our own wisdom, on our own ideas and notions that we pick up from psychologists' books. We cannot do it that way. It will fail. And it is a failure that has no repeat. We are talking about the lives of our sons and our daughters. Don't make that mistake. Don't take that risk. God says, except, not maybe, except unless the Lord is the one who is building the house, and you cannot involve the Lord if you don't even realize that it is a God-given duty and responsibility. Is that not so? Is that not true? If we don't realize it is a God-given duty and responsibility, how are we going to involve the Lord? The Bible made it absolutely clear. Except the Lord build the house, you and I will labor in vain that build it. No exception. We will end up zero. Except the Lord keep, that is, guard the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. No matter how alert he may be, God says, unless the Lord is the one who is guarding the city, it's going to fall into enemy's hands. And unless the Lord builds your house, that home of yours may be filled with expensive furniture. Thousands and thousands of dollars of furniture. But that's all it is. It's an empty shell of dollars and cents. That's all it is. Do you want that to be the end of your life? That all you have in your home, expensive furnitures? That's all? You mean that's what parenting is? It is vain for us to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, to work so hard, to go out there and to work hard and harder and harder and harder, to bring back lots of money, to build bigger and bigger and bigger homes. God says, it is vain for us to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. Trust in the Lord for our children. Aim for godliness in our sons and our daughters. Do not aim that they will become successful businessmen, worldly wise, but not godly wise. To begin, realize that it is a God-given duty. And it is such a great honor that God has placed parents, that in the Old Testament, the Bible made it very clear. It becomes one of the commandments in the scriptures. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is commandment number 5. Any human relationship is included in this 10 commandments. You know the prestige and honor that God gave to parents. Part of the 10 commandments. There are so many other commandments, so many other human relationships. God singled out this one. And the penalty, in Exodus 21 verse 15, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death as well. You know, God never over punishes or under punishes anyone. To put someone to death is the ultimate punishment. And God therefore rank disobedient to parents in this manner, cursing them, smiting them. He ranked it with witchcraft, all kinds of abomination, idolatry. He ranked it all the way up there with the worst kind of sin. You can measure it by the penalty that God imposed. Today, we have children beating up parents because now children, they eat genetic engineered food. They grow up so tall like trees. They don't stop growing. They keep on growing and growing. Right? Where did they get all this height from? The size, the height. And so, therefore, very soon, you're going to find children beating parents. And God said the penalty is death. Today, never mind. That's the society that we're living in. Can we blame the children all the time? Or are we to be blamed? Because we have failed as parents. They talk behind our backs and they call fathers old men. Right? Old man, oh my old man. Totally no respect at all. None at all. And they think that God does not hear. You think God has gone to sleep? Think God does not know? God knows the disrespect that children have for parents. very well. And just because God withheld the punishment does not mean that he does not know, nor does he care. It only reflects the kind of heart some of our children have. God has elevated parenthood to such a privilege and honor that it is lost today. We just react as fathers and mothers to the norms and to the times that we are living in, to our own hurt and to the hurt that we inflict on our children, because we do not realize that we are given a God honoring position, fathers and mothers, to mold young lives, a responsibility that God has given to us, not to other creatures, only to us, not even to angels. Angels can't procreate, only to us. Not to any of the animals, not the fish, not the birds, only to us. It is a reverential position. Please realize that. And therefore ask God to help us to bring our children up. And with that in mind, perhaps we will be more responsible and not so reckless. Are you prepared to lower your living standard and have one parent working so that you can be there, hands-on, to look after your children and not pass the responsibility to your in-laws or to your parents, nor to your maid, but do it yourself? Do we have the courage to take on that responsibility and not be found reckless? Feeding, clothing, educating our children to be worldly wise is grossly insufficient. This person testified, "I vividly recall attending a Road Free meeting in Illinois a few years ago with my friend Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith was a very famous preacher in his time. I was sitting next to him at the speaker's table when suddenly, just before he arose to speak, he asked me to mark carefully his closing words. When the moment arrived, he lifted his well-worn Bible. 'How many of you men,'" okay, only men attended the Road Free meeting, "'how many of you men can recall a saintly mother or a godly father who loved this book?'" That's the Bible. "Read it, lift it, and seeped it into you." Practically the entire group, with moist eyes, raised their hands. They could recall as children how their parents had been godly, teaching them the word. Then quietly, Gypsy swung home deftly this shaft. "With all your influence today, how many of you are so living that your children will remember you for your faithfulness to this same book?" It was a tense moment. I felt the impact more than Gypsy did, for I knew a few there whose children are today's problem. No hand was raised. If we truly love our children, then we must be responsible parents, not only for our children's physical needs. That's easy. Unbeliever parents can also do that. But also to care, more importantly, for their spiritual needs. What is your aim, your goal, and your purpose for your children? That they will grow up to do the will of God? That they will grow up to find, if it is God's will, godly, God-honoring life partners? Very often we want our children to be what we want them to be rich and to be famous, for our own pride, for our own name, and not to seek what God wants for our children. And because of the wrong motive, we gear and we direct our children according to this goal, that they be rich, that they be worldly, but not rich in spiritual things. This taxi driver was sending me there, and he said that my two children are godly, serving the Lord. Then I said, "That is very rich. That is the kind of wealth that every Christian parent should long for. Not that they are successful in the eyes of the world, that they will grow up to love God, to be men and women after God's own heart." And if we have this aim and goal, then the responsibility that we have in directing our children in their bringing up will be toward that direction. Don't just tell them to pass their exams and get straight A's and get scholarship and get into the best schools that the newspaper would print out for us. Top 10 schools in Singapore. Well, my child comes from number one. And so we boast and we tell the whole world, my child comes from number one. And so our children also bought into this idea. And so where they wear the school uniform and then they strut around like a peacock. You see, number one school uniform. And so other parents are so intimidated, oh, mine is from somewhere. People don't like me to say Choa Chu Kang, so I don't use Choa Chu Kang. Okay, Timbuktu. Somewhere Timbuktu, right? Nobody from Timbuktu, right? Some live in Choa Chu Kang, so I don't use Choa Chu Kang, Timbuktu. Right? All those neighborhood schools, nobody wants you. Every time you go out, you cover, please put on your jacket. Don't walk up with me with that kind of a neighborhood school uniform. Wear a jacket, cover it up. What are we telling our children? That all these things matters for eternity. We come to church, we sing hymns, and then we talk about Sunday school, we talk about serving God, and then when we get into the world from Monday to Saturday, it's a totally different look, totally different outlook to life. Completely different. What kind of message are we sending to our children? That Christianity is only good within these four walls. The moment you get out of the gate of Calvary Pandan, please put on a totally different person. And then when you come back, please switch on, switch on. The moment you come in, switch on to the Christian channel. The moment you go out, switch on to the worldly channel. No wonder our children get schizophrenia. We tell them. We do it in our own lives as well. In front of everybody, we are so holy and so righteous. But then how do we bring up our children? What kind of message are we telling them? When they have exams, and come back, 90 marks, 90 marks, how do you lose 10 marks? Instead, did you remember to pray today? Did you remember to pray before you take your exam? Did you remember to thank God after you took the exam? Did you thank God for the results? We never ask our children all these questions. Why? Because we don't do it ourselves. We don't pray before we go to work. We don't pray before we lift up the phone. We don't pray at all. We only pray when we are faced with a calamity that we cannot solve. Then we start praying. So God is like the emergency exit, not the main entrance. Emergency exit. And so we teach our children the same principle, the same kind of idea. You only pray emergency exit. Otherwise, no need. Because that's Mama and Papa's way. And therefore you follow. True. Are we responsible parents to teach them as long, as soon as they can speak, tell them the gospel, lead them to Christ, pray with them, pray for them. Don't ever stop praying with them and don't ever stop praying for them. Because the world out there is not a nice place. We all know that. It is wicked, it is carnal, it is immoral. And the leader there is called the prince of this world, Satan himself. And it is in his pocket. He controls it. And he will use the sweet carrot of dollars and cents to pull people in that direction. And your children, if possible, will become his victims. And we, if we are reckless and we are not responsible, we will help him push our children in that direction. And they are going to end up as wretched, worldly unbelievers. You can sleep, you can die with your eyes closed, knowing that your children are like that, happily, or does it break your heart? Do you really love them? You discipline them. You teach them from the moment they know how to talk, what is right and what is wrong. If they have done something wrong, you smack. Teach them. Don't listen to all these worldly educators. Oh, they will learn one day. They're going to learn one day. Yeah, by the time they learn, they're in prison. Yeah, they learn one day. Who is going to cane them in prison? Yeah, you're going to have professional caners. They're going to cane them. Why? Because you didn't do it when they were young. And now you want the government to cane them. And they're going to be in prison. And what are you going to do? You're going to visit them? Or too ashamed? And every time you visit them, you see them behind bars, what do? You cry? You think those tears will help? ease the pain and the regret. I should have, if only I had. The word of God is very clear. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. If parents will not tell their children that when you sin, when you do wrong thing, there is a painful consequence, who would? Not the pastors, not the elders, not the deacons. We can't, because they are not our children, they are your children. The church cannot take over your role. It is a role that God gave to you. You did not give it to the church at all. Not the Sunday school teachers, not the pastors, not the elders, not the deacons. We are not the parents. You are. You have to do it. These instructions are given to parents. Foolishness is bound in the heart of our sons and our daughters, no matter how cute they look. Foolishness is wrapping around their heart. You can't see it, but it's there. You believe God? And God says, when they exhibit this foolishness by committing sin, wrongful acts, right then and then you have to decide. You keep quiet, you condone. The child would think, it's okay. It's okay for me to misbehave. It's okay for me to tell lies. When is the child, consequences? Childish consequences. When they grow up, they do the same thing in society. They're not going to face childish consequences. They're going to face adult consequences. Teach them. Teach them the word of God, that they may hide God's word in their heart, that when they grow up, they will not depart from the faith. If we don't, nobody would. A judge who had a great number of cases involving families and homes once said, "We adults spend far too much time preparing the path for our youth, and far too little time preparing our youth for the path." Very true, isn't it? And I'm sure many of us are guilty of this. Don't be like these families who stand before their judge, because by then it's too late. We teach our children the word of God, because the Bible tells us that once they become Christians, the Spirit of God will indwell them. And the Spirit of God will bring to remembrance what they have learned from God's word. That when they go into the world, they're going to face a lot of wicked men, wicked women, all the wickedness that's out there. The word of God will help them to stand firm. Their lives will not be built on sinking sand. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ is solid, firm rock foundation. Any other foundation will be classified as sinking sand, and it will sink, because the storms of life will always be out there. And our children will drown when their foundation is made of sinking sand. Only in the rock Jesus Christ will they stand firm and not be drowned by the world. Do you believe this? Then be responsible parents, because your duty as fathers and mothers are given to us by God. It is not a reaction. It is not because of evolution. It is not just a process of evolution, or your parent just automatically just become one. Nobody automatically becomes a godly parent. You have to willfully, consciously realize that except the Lord builds the house, we build our homes in vain. Finally, reward or reproach. No guarantee, but pray. Pray that God in His grace and His mercy will reward us, if you can call it a reward. And the greatest reward is to be with your sons and your daughters in the clouds of glory when the last trump blows, sounds, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come up home, my sons and my daughters." And with the twinkling of an eye, you'll be raptured, you'll be caught up. And the moment you arrive, by your side will be your sons and your daughters. Not your house, not your cars. Definitely not your expensive clothes. And all your makeup and everything else will be left behind. And all you have will be your sons and your daughters. Wouldn't that be the greatest joy that you could ever, ever long to have? That your own sons and your own daughters will be there with you. For how long? Forever. And ever. And ever. If not, they're going to be separated from you also forever and ever and ever. And this time in a place of torment called the lake of fire that burneth without end. Please realize the awesome responsibility that God has given to us. Don't want to hear the words from the Lord, "You have been an unfaithful father and mother. Please do not sacrifice your children and have a godly testimony in your workplace. Please don't sacrifice your children and have a godly testimony in the church." All the areas that God has given to us must bring glory and honor to God's name. They do not compete with one another. They complement one another. If God gives you a life partner and God blesses you with children, you be the best husband, the best godly wife that you possibly can. And then you be the best godly father and godly mother you possibly can. And at the same time, you be the best Christian worker in your workplace and be the best Christian in the church. Every aspect of our lives must glorify God's name. That's the teaching of Holy Scriptures. You do not pit one against the other, because that will still cause us to end up as a failure. You don't sacrifice your testimony in the church for the sake of your family or for your job. Every aspect glorifies the Lord. Remember that. If you find that it's too much that you have been serving in the church, then you scale it down. If you find that your job is taking too much time, where your church service is affected, your family is affected, then you scale that down. Lesser pay, never mind. You don't need that extra dollar. You don't need it actually. All you need is just simply food and clothing on the table. You don't need to be rich. To be rich must be measured in terms of eternity. That's the framework of what is true wealth. Not the standard of the world that is of dollars and cents. Remember in Revelation 21:22, when the world of ours is destroyed, there is only one thing that is of this world that will remain. Do you know that? Everything else will disappear. Only one thing will remain that you find all eternity. And that is the name Jerusalem. Because there will be a new Jerusalem in the new heaven and new earth. New York, Singapore, Tokyo, whatever that you can think of, all the big cities, all the beautiful cities, all will become a thing of the past, and every one of us will forget about them. The only thing that we will remember about the old earth is when you walk on the streets of gold in New Jerusalem. Why? Because God said to David, "I will build your house for eternity." And Jesus Christ is of the lineage of King David, and he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever. And as a king, you always have a capital city. And since Jerusalem was the capital city of King David, Jerusalem will remain. That's the only thing that we'll remember of this earth of ours. Not your home, not your cars, not everything that you do, but except your children. Our children. Pray with them. Pray for them. Realize it is a God-given honor to be parents. Don't waste it. You don't have a second chance in bringing up children. Be responsible and don't be reckless. And one day, God willing, all of us will be rewarded and not hear words of reproach from the Lord. Daniel Webster, the one who gave us Webster Dictionary. "From the time that at my father's feet or on my father's knee I first learned to lisp verses from the sacred writings, they have been my daily study and vigilant compensation. If there be anything in my style or thoughts to be commended, the credit is due to my kind parents instilling in my mind an early love for God's word, for the scriptures." See how tremendous the word of God is? We can never, never over-teach our children the word of God. See how many parents are so contented and satisfied with just coming to church for morning service. We thank God for all of you to instill in our children not only to be found in God's house in the morning, but to be found in God's house in the evening. If there is a godly evening service, when it is time for them to become parents and when they grow up and if the Lord tarries. These are all methods that you instill our children. The importance, when they are old enough to pray, you come for prayer meeting and you bring the whole family for prayer meeting. That's how you instill in them the importance of God in their lives. Share it with them. that when they remember you, they remember you as a godly father and a godly mother. Not a wayward father and a wayward mother. And all my dad and mom cares about is money. And more money. What for? Whatever for. How will our children remember us? A poem. My precious boy with the golden hair came up one day beside my chair and fell upon my bended knee and said, "Oh, mommy, please pray with me." I said, "Not now, go on and pray. I've got so much to do today." He smiled through tears in eyes so blue, and I said, "We'll pray when I get through." But the chores lasted through the day, and I never find time to pray. When supper was over and dishes done, I was much too tired for my little son. I tuck him in and kiss his cheek and watch my angel fall asleep. As I toss and turn upon my bed, those words kept ringing in my head. "Not now, son. Go on and pray. I've got so much to do today." I fell asleep, and in a minute's span, my little boy is a full-grown man. No toys are there to clutter the floor. No dirty fingerprints on the door. No snacks to fix. No tears to dry. The rooms just echo my lonely sigh. Are you afraid of that day? I am. I know that one day, if the Lord tarries, my children all will be grown up, and the little apartment that we have will be all very quiet, just my wife and myself, God willing. We are still alive. Don't you think about that day? When you have teenage children, you begin to think that way. And now I've got time, the time to pray, but my precious boy is gone away. I awoke myself with a pitiful scream and realized it was just a dream. For across the room in his little bed, my curly-haired boy, the sleep head. My work will wait till another day, for now I must find some time to pray. Those who have young children, please bring them up. Those who have older children who have become wayward, please pray. The Lord can do a mighty work of miracle. And do whatever you can, still as parents. Whatever mistakes we have done, pray and ask the Lord to forgive us. And now try to make up by talking to our children, praying with them and for them. And start all over again, if possible. It's never too late to be a godly parent. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, as parents, how many times we have failed Thee. And when we think back of our parenting, there are many regrets that we wish we could have another opportunity to undo. O Lord, may Thou be gracious and merciful, especially to young parents with young children, that they may realize the awesome responsibility placed in front of them, an opportunity that will not come back a second time, to bring up our children in the fear and nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may every parent realize the God-given responsibility to carry this out to the best of our ability with Thy enabling. We pray, Father, for some children who have gone wayward because of parents who have not done their godly duties. May Thou forgive us. And we pray, Father, for these children, that Thou will be merciful to touch their hearts and to cause them to come back to Thee. And we pray, Father, that our young children, they may grow up to love Thee, to be men and women after Thy own heart. Bless every family, every parent in this congregation, that the fear of God may be in our hearts, and we may give of our best to bring our children up in a way that will be found pleasing and acceptable in Thy sight. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.